everybody. Welcome to the Leveling Up podcast with Brigham Black. I'm so excited to have my friend Sean Knudsen on today. He is a wonderful example of a great coach, a great business leader, someone that knows how to create military precision in business and in coaching. And I think we're gonna have a great conversation today. We're gonna talk about some secrets that he's learned from the military precision side of things that he can apply to business. So helpful, so excited. So Sean, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background. Tell us why we need to listen to you.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on. I'm excited about this. Your energy is very contagious, so thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So my background is I just retired from the Army National Guard. I was in for 23 years. I was also on a federal SWAT team where I was a team leader. I was the SWAT team commander. It was a federal SWAT team. And so one of my responsibilities was to go investigate other facilities and check out their security and just see, you know, just do an evaluation and see what where they had some weaknesses. And so that's similar to what I now do with businesses. That's kind of the thing I'm looking for is, where are they missing opportunities? Where are they losing profit or not getting profit, or because of lack of organization or lack of systems? Like, where are they falling short of opportunities that might be able to put more money in their pockets?
Wow, that's a really unique background. I'm so excited we get to talk to you a little bit more about military precision and about how you have been able to recognize those types of things that break a system down, and also things that you're like, hey, this is how we make sure that we can get in, get out, hit our objectives, and make it something that's amazing. So tell us, let's start off with this idea. When you hear the word precision, what is the first thing that pops into your head?
Well, precision, I think, is just being very deliberate, like not letting things go to chance. Mm-hmm. Because if you ignore things, people just tend to ignore things. Oh, it's fine. I don't need to pay attention to that. And then that's when things get away from them. You know, whether it's your payroll or anyone who's been in the military, you know, that when we're buying parts and equipment and replacement, like there's very little accountability because we're not paying for it. But if you own the business and you're buying staplers and pens and like even those types of things, if you don't pay attention, they can get out of hand. So you have to look at the data and be very deliberate about wanting to be successful and be profitable. And to me, that is being very precise.
I love that. And I guess the challenge, if people are imprecise in their calculations, imprecise in their businesses, they start to have that bottom line shrink and shrink and shrink, and they may even go into the red. So
yeah, for sure.
So when you're thinking of precision in business, what is the biggest tip? Or let's start with this first secret. Like, what is that thing that you're like, man, this is so key to make sure that your business is precise to doing what you want to do?
Yeah, that is a great question. And this goes back to the military. So in the Army, we have what we call a 5-paragraph op order. So every mission, no matter how big or small, has this operation order that we get basically from the commander. The first thing is the situation, the mission. And inside of this, the single most important part of the op order is called the commander's intent. Basically, that means if everything else goes to garbage and everything falls through and nobody, you know, the plan just gets destroyed, you know, the first time as soon as a bullet goes off, you know, the whole plan is just smithereens. So
right.
In those times, each person down to the lowest private knows the commander's intent. So as a lower leader, you can evaluate your own situation and you can make a decision based on that commander's intent. Now, if you're a business or an organization and you don't have that same kind of intent, that same kind of mission for your employees, your subordinates, or even yourself, if you don't have that kind of clarity, you're going to get lost in the sauce. Like, it's, you're not going to know who you are as a company, as an entrepreneur, as a business owner. And when things come up, it's easy to say, oh, this looks like a good idea, and just jump over here and jump over here. And you just maybe never know who you really are. So the first thing for me is to always get very clear about your purpose and direction. So for me, that looks like, so I have a 3-part system that I use that's sort of like the military op order, and it's mission, reconnaissance, and execution. So your mission would be, to me, it's your vision and your purpose.
Yeah.
And your vision would be your goals, dreams, ambitions. Where do you want this company to go? And your purpose is, what are you going to provide? What service, what product, and who are you going to provide that to? And getting very clear about that. So for myself, I've had businesses that I didn't know exactly what I was doing. I just kind of like, hey, this seems like a good, like I started my first business at 24. I thought, hey, this is great. I'm doing concrete. Like I did concrete for a few years. And before you know it, by the time I was 25, I had 15 employees. And back then I had like a $40,000 payroll every month. Mm-hmm. And so at 25 years old, that's, and like I said, that was 25 years ago. And you know, it was stressful, but I was making a lot of money. But I was stressed. I felt like I couldn't take days off. I felt like the people that I was working for, the general contractors that I was working for, I felt like I couldn't let them down, especially being so young and kind of new at business. And so I didn't take days off. I didn't, you know, there's so many things I didn't do. And a lot of that came because I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what my mission was, what my vision for the future was. I was just, you know, I was kind of an ego trip for me at 25 to be working with such, you know, people would come to the job site and say, hey, where's the owner? And I had employees that were older than me. I had employees that were in their 30s and 40s, and they would point at this young kid. And I had to grow like a beard and goatee because I looked so young. I looked like this little kid. And they would point to me and they would say, no, we want the owner. And then they would say, no, that's the owner. And so to me, it was like this ego trip, but I didn't know what I was doing. And I got overwhelmed, and I eventually sold the company because I was just so stressed out, even though like I was a victim of my own success. I was doing so well that I was just stressed, and I didn't know what I was doing. I talked to people about it's the golden handcuffs. I was making so much money that how do you turn down that money? But at the same time, like I was just drained. Emotionally, physically, I was just, you know, stressed, drained, getting burnt out. And so getting that clear purpose and that vision can really help in those situations. So when you start a business, always make sure that what you're moving towards is what you actually want to have. I've had several businesses, and I've had another business that was making $2 million a year. And it was the same thing, lots of money. But I was stressed. I felt like I couldn't leave. And so I, at the time, I just didn't know how to implement operating systems and things like that, where I could set things up for people to work under me and take some of that responsibility that I had. But because I wasn't clear about what I wanted, and for me, when your vision needs to incorporate your values, your dream lifestyle, and what brings you satisfaction or fulfillment in life. And if you can, you know, that's like if you can get that, like that's the sauce right there. That's when you're living, you're congruent, and you know, business people, I hear a lot of people talk about, oh, you know, it doesn't really matter what I do or what career I have, because it's, you know, it's just my work time. And then I, you know, my life is actually at home. And that's the most ridiculous thing that I think anyone can believe, because 30% of your life is going to be spent in your career. So be very clear about what you're doing. And I'm not even one that says you don't have to have a big flashy job. You don't have to. But if you can have fulfillment and meaning out of what you do 30% of that time, boy, it's just going to make the rest of your life so much better. The example I like to use is, let's say you were a secretary, mm-hmm. and you worked for a loan shark, and you know what this guy does. He's got guys out there breaking people's legs to collect money that they don't have. You're probably not going to feel very motivated to go to work every day. But let's say you had that exact same job, no difference, except you worked for the Operation Underground Railroad, where you are going to work to help a company that is rescuing people that are in sex slavery. And that's what you're doing every day. It's the exact same job, but you go to work with this meaning, this value, this purpose every single day. And that just carries on into the rest of your life. And you just have this beautiful life. So a lot of times what I find with entrepreneurs is that you don't need to quit like I did, because I just didn't know at the time. Instead of, you don't have to quit, but just pivot. You can make some changes, and something that you've created that maybe is driving you crazy, there's some really not even really big things, but there are things that you can do to make this something that you want it to be, something that's going to give you that fulfillment and that value in your life, as well as increasing your profits and, you know, creating this great environment for your employees, for everybody that you work with. So that's, to me, that's, it's really that important to have that that vision and that purpose about your business and what you're doing.
Yeah, I think that's really the underlying thing. If your business's only function is making money, eventually you're going to feel like you're disconnected to what you're supposed to do in life. And
yes,
one of
absolutely.
The things that I love, I learned this from Garrett Gunderson, but you just brought it up as well in a different light. He said, if you are living your sole purpose, is what you're doing today helping you get closer to that sole purpose? And if you shared what I thought you said, which makes sense to me, was if your business is helping you live that sole purpose, you're in alignment. And because you're in alignment, you're living that dream lifestyle. You're surrounding yourself with the right people. You're able to implement the system to say, this is how much energy and effort I have to put in and leverage. And then this is how much profit comes out. And everybody benefits all along the way. And you can create that admiration of a great business, but you don't have to be the one that's stressed past all belief to make sure that you can get these things done. So if I could back up just a little bit, one of the things you brought up earlier was you had like a $2 million a year business doing really great, but you were like stressed to the tilt. What advice would you give yourself now to that super stressed young entrepreneur that was crushing it on one end of life, but on the other elements, maybe your vitality, your stress levels, your health, was just struggling? What would you say as a coach to yourself?
I mean, and this is a great lead into the, you know, the second part of what I'm going to do or talk about. But the reality is getting those operating systems in place. So for instance, the more important you are to your business, the less important your business is. Like if you want to, you know, there's a difference between a, you know, solopreneur and, you know, a true entrepreneur that wants to create a business that he doesn't have to be there. He or she does not have to be there for. So it's creating those operating systems. So for me, back then I had to be there every day. And what I was doing is putting out fires. I've done this with several companies. I was at one time, I was a general contractor building three custom homes. And this was in my late 20s. And I had three, you know, at now in today's money, they would have been $1 million plus homes, three of them going on the same time. And every day I drove from job to job, putting out fires, dealing with what, you know, the customer, whoever was on the crew that day or whatever. And it was miserable. Like I hated it. And the same thing in this other company, I was putting out fires. Like my employees, I dreaded getting phone calls from my employees because they never called to say, "Hey boss, I just wanted to let you know we're having a great day. The clients are all happy." You know, never got that phone call. It was always, "Hey, we're having problems. We need, you know, what do you want us to do about this?" And I'll be right there. And so like, I just felt like even if I took a day off, I felt like I couldn't be very far away from my business because I had to be able to be there to take care of problems. And if I did leave, boy, I was like stressed thinking about, oh no, was everything okay? What if, and I'm calling like, "Hey, how's it going? What are you guys doing?" And so creating those operating systems, and everybody has operating systems. Like I had them, but they were me. I was the one. Every time something came up, I was okay, this is how you do this. Okay, when this comes up again, you do this. And what a person should do in a business of any kind or any kind of organization is everything that you do, you should record it. It should be written down. And then if it's a sequence you do on a computer, so like, let's say you enroll a new client, You should screen record the entire process. There's software where it can film you and your screen at the same time, and you can talk through this process of enrolling new clients, let's say. And then you put that into your SOP, your standard operating procedure, or your employee handbook or whatever, but you have it somewhere, and you have this a digital thing where it's all written out, and then a video that's also in there, so that if somebody's gone and their job needs to be done, anybody can get on the computer, look up how to do whatever it is they were going to do that day. So basically, you want to be able to have a system in place that anybody can walk in and see the exact directions, and a video is just even better to know exactly how to do that things. That's when you become unnecessary to be there, because you can go do your whatever. As long as you have a good manager, everything is written, and there's going to be maybe things that come up, but they're going to be far and few between that they can't handle by dealing with or going through the processes you've already established. And this goes back to your mission and your purpose, your vision. If you have a very clear vision and purpose, it's kind of like the military. Like, one of the best things about the US military is that from the commander down to the lowest private, everybody knows every aspect of the mission. And that is unique to the United States. Other countries do not do that. Like Russia, they don't want their soldiers to know how to read maps. They don't want them to know the op order, because their belief is they don't trust their soldiers. If they could read maps and they knew where they were, they're going to escape and go back to their homes because they don't want to be there. Not in America. In fact, in World War II, they told the German soldiers to stop killing the officers, because the officers were keeping them back, like holding the soldiers back. And when officers would get killed, in every other country, you hunker down and you wait. And so that's a typical tactic, is to take out the leaders. In the United States, in the absence of leadership and direction, they attack. They say, well, we know what the mission is. Let's go kill the enemy. And they just go. And so they were specifically told, stop killing American officers. And so we want to create that same kind of climate and environment in our businesses, so that, let's say you're on vacation and you don't have cell service, they can't get a hold of you, but a decision has to be made. Two things: they know the mission, they know your vision, they know your purpose, and you have given them that authority. You have emboldened them and trusted them so that they feel like they can make that decision and you're going to back them up. When I was a SWAT team commander, when I first became the SWAT team commander, it was a federal SWAT team on a military installation. My commander was a Fulbright colonel, and something happened over the weekend, an incident. We had someone actually try to break in. I handled the situation, but it wasn't like he was a real danger. He was, it was protesters, a protester like tried to break in. And so I grabbed some of the SWAT team guys. We went and grabbed him. And it was like a kid, and I didn't want to hold this kid in a federal institution and prosecute him through the federal system. So I just said, kid, don't be stupid, and I actually turned him over to the county. So I called the county and said, hey, you guys take this. I don't want to deal with him in the federal system. And so when the commander came back, I went and reported to him that, hey, I need to talk to you about this situation. And I was like, I didn't know if I exceeded my authority, if I should have waited to get a hold of you. And he said, you will never exceed your authority until I tell you you have exceeded your authority. Basically, I hired you for this position because I trust you. I trust you implicitly. I trust you in life and death situations. So you make whatever decision you need to make, because that's why I put you in that position. That's the same feeling your employees, especially your managers and supervisors, they have to have that feeling. I've worked in organizations where there was a leader, owner of a business or whatever, they walk in the room and they just suck out all the energy, where people stop coming up with good ideas. They stop thinking of, hey, what if we do this? Instead, they're thinking, What can I think of that's going to make this person look good? What do they want to hear? What do they want to do? And that's the only ideas that they come up with. And it basically becomes, you know, kissing the ring. They're bowing to this leader that's a toxic leader. And when you do that, when something happens and they can't get a hold of you, they're going to resort to like those other military units that they just hunker down. Nothing gets done, and they're going to wait around till they get some direction and they know what to do, because they're afraid to make a mistake. They're afraid to make a decision. So you have to, along with having this mission and purpose, you have to empower everybody underneath you. That's kind of a long, long random answer to your question.
I think that's a great answer though, because when you're building that much trust and confidence in your people, then when you're off and you're doing whatever it is you have to do as the business owner, you can leave that trust and they can feel like any decision they make, they're going to be backed by. And I thought the key to that, what you brought up was fantastic, was when they understand that they're not going to overstep their bounds until you tell them. I was like, that is such a great way to instill trust and admiration in that position and that role. And one of the things I think is helpful is understanding the difference between designating a job and designating a role. And that is such a distinct difference. Yes. But if we think they're the same thing, then every single time someone says, well, I did the job. Well, great. Now keep doing the job. It's not a one-time thing. When you designate the role, it's something that happens over and over, and they have that responsibility.
Yep.
So let's talk about this final point. When you're talking about military precision, and if you don't have this in your business right now, that's fine, but we want to make sure we can increase all of you guys in the audience. What is this final point for you? The thing that you're like, if nothing else, do this and the rest of your business will start to come into alignment.
Yep, absolutely. And you kind of hit a key part of it right there with your organization. Even if you're a solopreneur, if you have any desire to grow your business, you need to come up with your structure and assign yourself every position. In fact, I've worked with a coach that recommends you actually have a contract with yourself for every position that needs to be filled within that organization. And then if it's just you, you're going to have to assign so many hours a week to do that job. So if you're the CFO, maybe it's just you, you assign 3 hours a week to work on that CFO work, and you're generating the reports for yourself as if you were reporting to shareholders and the CEO and whatever. But the big thing is that's part of it, is just getting clear about your purpose, your vision, and then getting organized. Like I've worked with, different coaches and consultants that made this process so difficult, where they wanted this business plan that was like, if it looked like something from a Fortune 500 company that had been created by lawyers. And I'm like, this is so far beyond what I can do. Like, this is just, my brain just implodes on this. So here's a real simple, this is what I love every one of my clients to do, is to get a whiteboard. And by the way, this, I'm going to just give a plug. This is Ryan Dice. It's someone that I've worked with. His book, Get Scalable. This is where I got this from. So I just want to give credit to him. Amazing. So get a whiteboard, get some sticky notes, and your first contact with your client, put a sticky note like in the middle of this whiteboard. And then to the left of that, you're going to put down sticky notes of how did they find you? Every single way that they have, basically your marketing. Was it social media, Google Ads, your website? Was it a mailer, word of mouth, your email list, giving speeches, writing a book, whatever it was? You're going to put all of those to the left of where you first contact, that client contacted you, or you contacted them. And then from there, you're just going to write out your entire process. So you contact them, you're going to put another sticky note to the right of them. How do you enroll them? If you don't enroll them, then where do they go? Hopefully, if you're not enrolling them, you're getting them back into your email list so that you continue to market to them through your email marketing. And then hopefully you'll get them back into the enrollment process. And then from your enrollment, what different offers or products do you have? And you're going to write out all of those products. You're going to write out the money when they pay. Where is the money going? So another book I recommend, highly recommend, is Profit First. So that you are, I hear a lot of new entrepreneurs that I'm going to put everything back into the business. And the problem is that that's a way to burn out very quickly. If you're not getting something from it, why are you doing it? And the other thing is, it's kind of like if you, one of the things he talks about in the book is if you want to lose weight, get a smaller plate and put less food on it. So if you put all your money back in your business, you're going to use all that money. You're going to use it in ways that maybe don't make sense. You're going to buy things you don't need. But if you have a smaller amount of money, you're going to become more creative with the money that you're using. And you're going to find ways to get done what you need to do on less money, which is going to give you more money, which is going to motivate you and excite you to be an entrepreneur. That's why you're doing this, is to make money. And if you want to, the money you're giving yourself, if you want to save that money, and you know, you can then start to invest that and grow that money. And all you're doing is creating this cushion so that if your business ever did need money, like Elon Musk used a lot of his own money to save both of his businesses, and because he had invested and had that cushion. So that's much better than just keep throwing money back into the business, and because you're just going to eat it up. And then at the end of the year, you can go, wow, I made a lot of money, but where did it all go? So just this is the kind of stuff you're going to find out by tracking, that you want to track the process of your client from the beginning to the end. Once you finish with your client, whether it's providing a product or a service, what then? Hopefully they're going into an email list, back into an email list where you can continue to market more products, more services. And depending on the size of your package and service, you should have some follow-up process where you're able to talk to them and get an evaluation, a review, see what you can do to do better. What else do they need? If they were happy with you, what else can I provide you? Maybe there's services that you aren't aware that you could be providing and you are not now doing. And so by polling and surveying your clients, past clients, future clients, you can really understand how you can better suit your client and better grow your business and increase your profits. And that's really the two things I'm looking for. Like for me, the aha moment is when I'm working with someone and I've got their vision and their purpose, and we've got that nailed down. And then I evaluate their business and I'm like, oh, this is why you're not all in. Like a lot of times I've had businesses that I wanted them to fail because they were making good money, but I'm like, I don't know how to turn this down. I don't know what to do with this. And I honestly was like self-sabotaging and like hoping that it would fail because it just wasn't in alignment with my values and my ultimate lifestyle and the way I get fulfillment. And so there's that moment where you find this incongruency with what they really want and what gives them fulfillment and the way the business is set up. And the business has maybe even become a monster to them. And so you have that aha moment, like, here we go. This is where we're going to be able to get that in alignment with those values and that ultimate lifestyle. And that's when all of a sudden you see the light come on in their eyes. They're like, oh yeah, I am all in. I am committed. I am excited. I love the direction that we're going. And so that's what I'm looking for every time I work with a client. And it's all part of this process of just getting clear about your mission and purpose, getting clear about your results, analyzing all of your analytics, all of your reports, everything about your business, and then putting in these processes that are in alignment. It's going to improve your efficiency, productivity, your profitability. It's going to improve your climate for you and your employees and your clients. If you have if your clients, one of the best things you can provide for your clients is obviously a good service, but even more than that, a good experience. So like if you go to a photographer and they take pictures of you and your family and they turn out amazing, but your photographer was like, had a bad attitude and was like yelling at you and just, you didn't have a good experience. Even though those pictures turned out amazing, every time you look at them, you're going to remember that experience and the feeling you had associated with it. But if you can provide a great experience for your clients, they're going to, whatever you provided, they're going to see that and go, oh, I loved working with them. And that's the ones that all of a sudden you, I just got a review a couple of days ago. It was like the most amazing review. And it wasn't someone, I was just someone I just was with for like one day. Like I didn't expect, I just something did something tiny for them. I did not expect it. And they wrote this amazing review. In fact, my, assistant called me and said, hey, you got to see this review. It's amazing. I was like, oh, that's cool. But that's creating that experience, not just the, you know, the product or the service. And the reality is money is just energy. And you get money is an exchange of goods and services that that is really energy. They're putting their time and effort into getting that money. You're providing that goods and service, and that's taking your energy. And so the more you can serve, the more money you're going to make. So everybody like likes to talk bad about the billionaires, but like, I am so grateful for Amazon. I use it every week. I am grateful for Microsoft. It's amazing. Like it's like if you're my age and you remember before we had it, man, this is like, it's beautiful. And because they found something that they could help billions of people, they're making billions of dollars. So if you can find better ways to serve more people and find what they're missing, what they need, you are going to make more money for your business.
Man, that is so key. Thank you so much for bringing that up. When you can simplify your system that a teenager can do it, I think of the McDonald's principle, where literally that system is put in place. You have the videos, you have all the different elements of your standard operating procedure that anybody walking in, whether it's day one or not, they can watch the videos. They can see what the mission objective is, and the way that you brought it up, making sure that everyone all the way along the line has those five elements and to the mission, they can see what needs to be done, why it needs to be done. And when the plan falls apart, here's what needs to be done no matter what. Here's the main direction. I think that is so key in business. So thank you so much for bringing all these different ideas and making them cohesive. I think it's so great. Any final pieces of advice that you would say to someone that's maybe just getting started, someone that you're like, all right, you maybe have been in this a couple months or maybe even a year or two, and you don't have all your systems put together. You don't maybe have all these email campaigns. What's that little nugget of wisdom? You're like, man, I wish you could just do this one thing.
Okay. That is a great question. And this is what I wish every one of my clients would do. I wish they would fail faster.
I love that. Fail faster.
There's no such thing as failure, because failure, you're going to fail. Like that's just inevitable. But success is inevitable because you're not going to give up. Failure, which I don't call a failure, but all it does is give you data. Like if you do nothing, like if I am working with a client and I met with them and we came up with this plan for the week, the next week I meet with them again and they did nothing, we have nothing. But if they tried two things and they failed miserably, awesome. Let's look at the data. What did we learn from this? Let's get the analytics. And so if you can fail faster, the faster you fail, the more data you're going to have, and the more you're going to be able to adjust and find ways to be successful. So it's not about failing. It's about just going and doing it. Just don't be afraid to just go do it. Don't be afraid to fail, and then collect that data and make the adjustments you need to get the success that you want.
I love that. Fail faster, because when you go for the no, right? Maybe in sales, it's not about, hey, they rejected you. It's, oh, what did I learn from that experience? And then you can get a little bit better. And it's line upon line, precept upon precept. You get a little bit more sturdy in your operations, because you can say, oh, I had this experience. I think I could rephrase that. Or maybe this was something that made that experience not quite a five-star experience for someone. Now I can take that and I can build from it so I can make sure my next client has a better experience.
Absolutely.
Love that. Fail
and,
fast.
And you know, real quick with what you said there, like I encourage my clients to not think of it in terms of closing or not closing, but anytime you interact with somebody, try to have a good, meaningful conversation with them. In fact, I encourage them to have three conversations every day with somebody that's in your industry, a possible client, but go in the mindset that you are there to serve and have a meaningful conversation. And even if you don't close them or enroll them, as I like to say, do something to help them in some way. And that just creates good energy for you and for them. And who knows, they may say, you know what, he wasn't for me, but I just met this person. I think you two would be a great fit. And they may recommend. I've had people that didn't use me that actually referred me to other people. So just, you know, don't think of terms of failing or not failing or closing or not closing, but you're just having this meaningful conversation with everybody that you come in contact with.
I think that's so key, because it's not about massive communication, it's about massive connection.
Absolutely.
When we're able to connect with somebody, really get on the same page as what they're wanting to accomplish. Maybe their purpose, what is their sole purpose, is not something that's in alignment with us. And that's okay. But you made a great connection. When you see somebody else, they're like, oh, my friend's wanting to do this with their sole purpose. You can connect them. And I think that's where magic can happen in business, because you're not worried about, did I get something from this? It's, did I give some value? Did I help them get one step closer to their goals, their dreams? And did we make something magical happen in our conversations? So,
yes, absolutely. Yep.
I love that. Thank you so much. Tell us, Sean, where can people find you online? Tell us a little bit about how they can continue to interact with you.
Perfect. So my business is Warrior Mindset Strategies. And I think we're working on the website, don't have it up yet, but it is, you can find me on Facebook and Instagram, just Warrior Mindset Strategies. I think Instagram is Warrior_Mindset_Strategies. But yeah, I have a lot of content on there. You can reach out to me that way. And I like I said, I'm always open to have a conversation. So I do a one free session with anybody that is interested. And we just get very clear about your purpose and direction. And I just did this with a friend of mine who was in the special forces, said, hey, I got this buddy. I wondered if you would talk to him. I talked to him. He finished school. He was going to get a doctorate, and I did not suggest anything. I just asked questions. What do you know? What is this? What do you want? What's your, you know, whatever. And at the end of it, he wanted to be a college professor. And I just said, okay, I'm just curious, with everything you've told me about, you know, the purpose and vision and dreams and the lifestyle you want to have, how does that align with being a college professor for you? What does that look like? And he actually said, I don't know. I that's something I need to think about. He contacted me a week later and said, hey, thank you for saving me $100,000 and 4 years of my life. He says, I realized that I really wanted, because he already has a degree. He already has experience in his industry, and it's an industry you do not need to have a degree or a doctorate. And he's going off to start his own business. And that was just from one conversation with me. Just, it tends to be a very like meaningful, great. It's actually my favorite part of my business is my free offer. So yeah, if anybody's interested, get a hold of me. I'd love to chat with you, and we'll just get very clear about your vision and purpose.
Absolutely. And I'll make sure to put that in the show notes too, so you guys know how to get a hold of Sean. But Sean, thank you so much for adding so much value, getting to share some heartbeats with me and our audience. It was a pleasure. And talking about military precision, great insights, great ideas that are not just ideas. They're something you can implement right now. Love the sticky note idea. So valuable. And I love that. Any final words that you're like, man, I wish Brigham would have asked me this question. Or I wish you had said this.
Here's my final thing that I also encourage every person that I work with to do is just have fun. So like, if you study like all the psychological things, like you know, flow and being in the zone. Everything you study, if you look up how they describe it, they're describing having fun. When you are having fun, you are present, you are in the moment. So if you can just have fun with your business, with your life, in everything, just have fun. So go out and have fun today.
I love that. Go have fun today. If our business isn't fun, well, we're doing it wrong, right?
Exactly. Yes, absolutely. Thanks for doing this. I think this is a podcast is great. I think this is, you know, we live in the age of information, and I think it's great to, you know, like when I first started, people didn't want to tell you this stuff. Like your competitors weren't going to like, so when I started my first business at 24, there was nobody coming in and saying, hey, this is how you run your business. Like it was just trial and error. And now in the day, you know, in this day of information, like it's just amazing. Like I think it's, and I think everybody should be a coach, in my opinion. So once you're good at something, you should help other people do that thing. And so, you know, that's just part of this giving back and this age of information that we live in.
I think that's a great point, because when you help somebody, you can give them a hand up.
Yep.
You don't give them a hand up. That is so good. Well, thank you so much, Sean, for your time and for all you do. Guys, hit that like and subscribe button. We would love to keep adding value to your life with Leveling Up. Thank you so much, and God bless.